Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
On the first take, baby. You nailed it. I like that. How you doing, Joel?
I am good.
We have a great show today. We have Bill Hamm. He is the COO of the Broadwell Property Group and the best-selling author of Creative Cash. And we're going to be talking a few topics, specifically, how the heck do you write a book? Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, first and foremost, congratulations on the book. It was a lot of work. I know you wrote one 10 years ago. You're not a best writing book. You're a best selling author, not a best writing author. Let's clarify that. And there's a lot of steps to writing a book. And I know you've told me over the last few weeks, people have said, well, how do you write a book? How do you get it going on? How do you start? What do you need to focus on? There's so many questions. Let's go broad-based. What do you think? First of all, should everyone write a book? That's the first question.
Of course not.
Okay.
Definitely not.
I think everyone has a unique story. I think if you're willing to work at it and if you're willing to put in the effort, everybody can write a book and everybody should write a book. But if you don't have those qualifications or you're not willing to put in the work, then don't even think about it because it's a ton of work. So start off sharing your story of how we came together, how we collaborated, and all the steps and processes, the stumbling points that you had writing the book, the enjoyment that we had at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I say not everyone should write a book because I don't think everyone would want to write a book. It's a big undertaking. And it's been a great experience. It's not easy. It's a lot of work, you know, but it's definitely fulfilling if it's something that you want to do. So if you want to write a book, then obviously it's coming up with topic. I mean, it's like, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to write about? And that's easy for people like you and I, Gino, because we're teachers and we have a built-in subject. You know, it's like we're in real estate. We are teaching real estate. We're going to write a book on real estate. It's not that hard. But if I said, okay, just tell me a really good story, go. Yeah, that's hard. That's really hard. So I don't want to compare the writing that I've done to fictional authors because I didn't make anything up. I mean, I took knowledge that I've experienced and that's out there in the world and I've put it in a format that's easy to understand and it's good teaching. But let's be clear, I'm no novelist. I didn't just make up a story. And I think that's really difficult to do. So probably very difficult to teach or to write fiction more, I suppose, than nonfiction. So it would be hard for me to sit down and just write a book on a story. So, you know, you guys have done better with that with the honeybee. I think I've got some stories in my book, but it's not a giant story. So I would say topic. That'd be the big one, you know, easy for me because I'm teaching real estate. It's kind of a built-in topic, but what do you want to write about, you know? And I would say, don't worry about whether anybody wants to read it or not. Write it anyway. If you want to write it, write it. Don't worry about whether it's going to be popular or not. I think that's to be determined.
I like that. So what I take from that is I think we all need to have what salesmen say is a USP. Unique selling proposition. Have something that's unique to you. Have something, if you're going to write a story, have something that's going to be attractive to a certain segment of the population. You don't have to write it to everyone. You know, real estate is pretty segmented. It's pretty niche. I don't think anybody who likes, I don't know, fishing is going to pick up a real estate book. You're looking for real estate, right? That's the important thing. I think, Bill, what were the big aha learning moments as you went through this process? You know, especially like, let's say, for instance, the editing and all those things that you went through before you wrote the book and then after you wrote the book.
Yeah, one of my big aha moments was that editing is for editors and writing is for authors and everybody needs to do their job. You know, don't try and be an editor. Don't try and make your work perfect. Hire an editor, you know, or find one, but don't try and make your writing perfect. You're probably going to wind up just getting yourself in the weeds like that, you know, creating some sort of block. So what I would say, and it's how it works for me, is just put it down, just write it. you can edit it later. You can go back and read it later. You can go back and polish it later. It's just get something on the piece of paper, just whether it's good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. Just write it down and get going. I would say start with a topic or a subject, and then really, quite frankly, just follow exactly what they taught us in high school. All right, make an outline, you know, just a bullet point outline. And then you go from the outline to a rough draft, and you go from the rough draft to the final copy, you know, just write it down. But that's how my mind works. It's easier for me to create all of the chapters and sort of bullet point outline of the entire book, and then to go back and fill in all of the chapters. So that's kind of how my mind works. I just create a framework for for the arc of the story, the arc of the work, and then go back and just fill in. And that helps me. I think sometimes people just try and start too much of a heavy lift from the beginning. They just want to start writing straight out and just have it all flow out and sound really good. And that's real talent if you can do that. That's you know, for the rest of us mortals, I would say just one page at a time, you know, start with the outline and go from there. And Julie and I worked on this for a while, and it's okay to start over. Mm-hmm. Might frustrate your mentor or your coach, you know, because Julie sat here and watched me throw entire books on the floor a few different times and just start all over again. But, you know, don't worry about it. It's got to be right for you.
So. Yeah. You know, Bill, working, you know, talking to you throughout this whole process of you writing Creative Cash was super fun, first of all, super exciting. But one of the things I noticed is that, you know, you got excited about one thing and then you kind of drifted and you wanted to go a certain way. And so how did you stay focused on what you wanted your message to be? Because you do have, you know, you start writing and all of a sudden you have all these great ideas and they're, well, let me go on this path. And it's like, all right, no, we got to focus on what that would be the next book.
You know? Yeah, that's a good point. But at the same time, I would say, don't hold yourself too tight to an idea either. Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong, not you, but I mean me. It's like I sat down and said, okay, the book is going to look like this. It's going to read like this. It's going to sound like this. And I start writing and went, no, it's not. That's completely wrong. What I really want to say is this. And you write that down and you go, nope, that's wrong. Now I want to say this. So I think as long as your reiterations are still within the genre of what you're trying to do, the genre of what you're trying to do, it's okay to start over and do it. Because I know every time I wrote something, and I know probably your personal frustration, I would get, you know, halfway through the book and go, wait, this sucks. Throw it all away, start all over. I get a phone call to her and go, hey, I'm starting the whole book over. She's like, what? I'm like, no. But each time it came out better. And so I think that is probably just the curse of the artist. Probably, you know, it's like we all hate our own work and you're always striving to make it, but it's never perfect in our own eyes, you know. And so I had to get it to good enough, at least for me. And that's something else too. I think as an artist, you're only going to get it in your own eyes. You're only going to get it good enough. So get it to where you're pretty comfortable and then test it in the market. Give it out to some friends and family and tell them to read it. See if it sounds logical, which is kind of what I did. Gino and I, you know, we did. Once I got a pretty good draft of the book, Gino and I sent it out to a few students and said, hey, just behind the scenes, give us a read. And you know, we got a lot of feedback from the students just to make sure we were on some sort of logical track. But yeah, I'm picky about my work. And so it's okay if you want to start over. If you don't like what you've done, trash it and start over. But, you know, stay on track. You're right. Now, if all of a sudden you're writing a book on, you know, real estate, and then you go, no, I need to write a book on flowers, and then no, I need to write a book on elephants. Okay, that would be a bit out left field. But yeah, I think as long as you stay on track, it's okay to reset. I think I reset probably, what, 4 or 5 times. I probably pretty much threw everything out the window and started over. So yeah. You know,
wow, that's 3 or 4 times more than I did. I just once I get something locked in, I want to go over the framework. And then my next question is going to be, why did you write it? But Bill mentions a really important note about the framework. For anybody out there who has a business, who's an online educator, who's a trainer, who's a coach, I don't want to say you need to write a book, but you need to write a book.
Doesn't hurt.
Because this is a business card. This will give you the credibility. And more importantly, we've created a masterclass from the book, creativeapartmentdeals.com. Go check it out. It's an amazing class built on the book. This is how you start your funnel. A $20 book to a $297 masterclass to a $1,000 a month mastermind to a live event, whatever that may seem, it all starts with the genesis of a book. You have all of your thoughts on here. And for $20, it's great. But Bill and I did hours and hours worth of videos. And at the end of it, Bill's like, this is only $300. I'm like, yeah, it's a ton of value. Remember saying that, Bill? A ton of work goes into it. But yeah, a $20 book is great. But when you have Bill and I teaching you videos and teaching how to underwrite the deals from the book, when you talk about the framework, we all work in frameworks, right? Buy right, manage right, finance right, three pillars of real estate, the SPY technique. That's how our brains work. Seven habits to highly effective people. Those are all frameworks. That's why the book is very important. I love the way you wrote it, because I write the books, my books the same way. You start out with your chapters, your big overarching. And then from your chapters, you start chunking it down and start working it on each individual chapter and then start working from there and start filling it in. And that's the same way you create your masterclass. You look at how the book is written out and then start pulling out everything from the book and start creating a masterclass. Now, if you don't ever write the book, but you want to go to the masterclass, great, do that. But the book is amazing. It'll get your ideas, it'll get your thoughts out there. And every time Bill wants to connect with a broker, hey, or Bill goes to a meetup, he's got his book there and he's doing this talk. It really lends a ton of credibility, and he can put on his LinkedIn profile, best-selling author. It really goes a long way. Now, why did you write the book?
Well, actually, right before I answer that question, I want to reiterate what you're saying there in something that it's a question that I get asked a lot as a new author. And as people have found out, I just wrote a book. They go, man, are you about to get rich on that book?
Glad you said that.
No. So hold on. There's not a tremendous amount of money to be made in book sales. So if you're listening to this, and I think it's kind of to reiterate some of the points that you just made, Gino, if the book is a segue into something for you, if you have an ancillary business, you're a teacher, you have other things, a book is a great addition to that. It's a lead generator. But I wouldn't suggest that you go out and plan to write a book for financial gain. I think that's going to probably get you writing books for the wrong reason. Unless you're a novelist, unless you're very, very talented, you know, I would look at writing a book as something that you want to create because it's something that you want to do. It's art that's inside of you and that wants to come out, then fine. Or if it's a part of you know, again, another business that you're already running, that's fine. But I wouldn't sit down and think that this is how you're about to go quit your 9-to-5 job because you wrote a book. You know, so don't go there. And the reason I'm saying that is Gina's talked a lot of stuff here about the business and the money and the courses and all stuff. Right, but it's all ancillary to that book. So
yes. You know, it's an end game. It's the end strategy, right? And we've written three books and a few hundred dollars from here, a few hundred dollars from there. We're going to have an Audible sales now. So we're going to be getting some Audible revenue. All the revenue helps, but I've never ever said that I wrote a book because I wanted to become rich from a book. What it does, it expands and broadens our brand. It gives us the credibility. And when you're raising capital, if you're a capital raiser and you have a book, it lends a lot of credibility to people. Wow, you put the effort and the time to put stuff down on paper and able to teach. So, and it's great. You're sharing part of yourself and part of your story, and it lives on. This book will live on for a long time from now. It'll be on Amazon. It'll be in the Jake and Gino community. So that's really cool.
Scary thought.
Yeah, but one of the things I just want to mention is like how many books out there are about financial, you know, independence or whatever it is. There's so many. And I think that's important is that we all have different successes and failures and stories. And I think that's why it's important that if you're, you know, excited about something and you want to write about your story, someone else will benefit from that. And I think that's important. So many people have benefited from your story, right, Bill? And mm-hmm. I think that's important for people to know is that we all, even if we're on the same path, we're in the same community, we still experience things differently. We handle things differently. We learn differently. So it's important to get that out there.
So why did you write the book?
She told me to do it. Nobody told me to do it. Seriously, we were standing around in one of the rooms after the event, and she said, "You should write a book." And I said, "Okay." And
that's really what happened.
That's literally word for word what happened. Now, I was the reason that I wrote this book at this point in time with this material is because it's market sensitive, and You know, I understand this isn't a real estate centric podcast. I won't bore everybody here, but basically, you know, markets are going to get weird soon. And I believe that there'll be less available bank lending in the world. And so therefore, we're going to need solutions for financing and therefore creative financing. But that's why I specifically wrote this book, is because it's applicable to upcoming market cycles. But let me say, I'm halfway through a second book and I've got a third book in my head that I've already written some. So really, it was about Julia just telling me, hey, it's now time for you to become who you're supposed to be. It's time for you to become the next person in your life that you're meant to develop into, which is an author. I think the material is always there and the ability to teach and write has always been there. I just needed a nudge. You know, I just needed somebody to go, hey, you should do that. And I went, all right. Sometimes you'd be amazed how sometimes we just need a nudge or just a little permission, you know, just to go be successful. And, that, and I've seen that a lot of people. It was me. You know?
That's accountability and mentoring right there. That's why we created the Jake and Gino community, because a lot of the students are smart enough. They have some kind of experience, let's say in real estate, but they need that nudge and they need that accountability from the paralysis analysis. Does this deal look good? Well, let me just jump on the call. Let me talk to my coach. Well, yeah, it looks good. Thumbs up. If somebody's there like Julia, not, I don't want to say pushing you, but giving you the encouragement and letting you able to be in that safe space where you're like, well, how does this sound? And she's there. Well, you know what? It sounds great. Let's just keep going. That is really, really, really important. I won't bore you with the real estate. No more real estate talk.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. No, you know, it's important to know that, you know, we all have little projects we want to succeed in, you know, whether it's raising kids, being married, writing a book, whatever it is. And there are little people around us all the time that we could choose and say, you know, what do you think of this idea? And I think that's important. It doesn't have to be one person in your life that you're waiting to hold you accountable or to give you that encouragement. It could just be one person passing through, like me. I mean, we were in Atlanta, Bill, and it was just interesting. You looked like something was on your mind and we just started talking about it. And all I said was, well, why don't you call me on Friday? And you said, okay. And so every Friday we talked, and that's really what it came. We talked about your wife, how your wife was doing. I mean, we talked about other things. I get off the phone and, you know, it was a really great conversation.
I'm like, Jill, what did you guys talk about? She goes, I don't know. I'm like, really? I don't know.
it was just a good conversation, and it kept you going. And so think about, if you have a project in mind, or if you have something that you want to be working on, you want to, you know, be a better parent, or, you know, you're trying to, you know, we homeschool, you're trying to homeschool a little bit better. Find that person in your life that is already there and ask their advice and say, what do you think? Could you encourage me? You want to call next week? You know what I mean? Because it's important that we reach out to people around us.
Mm-hmm. Bill, let's talk quick about partnerships.
Sure.
I'd like to mention Scribe. We use Scribe, Max Tucker's company. They did a fantastic job. They were a great partnership. And my whole idea with like partnership is the accountability piece, and you do what you say, and you say what you do. They held us to some timelines. We held them to timelines. They did what they said they were going to do, and we performed also. And I think that's the key to a partnership: setting expectations, knowing what you're getting yourself into, knowing the value you're going to provide, and knowing that your partner is going to be there for you. I mean, last week, sending out all those hundreds of emails, you doing the same. We did a Facebook Live challenge. There was a lot of effort and energy that went into it. And if I was there by myself, I might have skipped out on a couple of those things. But knowing that Bill Ham's on the other side and doing the same thing for me, and I'm putting food on his table and he's putting food on my table, it really put the pressure on. And that's good. Like Josh likes to say, pressure makes diamonds. And if there's no pressure there and you're just a little lackadaisical and no one's looking over your shoulder, that may not be good. So what do you look at? Because a lot of the Jake and Gino students at our boot camps, we discuss this. Partnerships. What are you looking for in a partnership, and how do you like to create one?
Yeah, I would be looking for someone to bring whatever qualities I didn't naturally have. So in this case, you know, we became such a great partnership with teaching, and especially about the book and things like that. Because I bring a lot of teaching value, and I'm great at teaching, but I'm not so great at the sales and the business and the actual make the deal go round. Because it's like me, I could have wrote that book and just flung in the closet. I'm fine with me. I don't care. But that's no good. That doesn't help anybody. You got to go out and actually get it published and then sell it. And then do it. So I probably would have just enjoyed the creation of it and the writing and the teaching, and then would have never actually made it become something that helped other people. So, you know, it's like, that's where I fall short, is the actual bringing out of the the information and the creation. You know, I'm a pretty standard artist, I think, when it comes to that. Once I create my art, I care less. You can go in the closet now, I'm done. I want to create something new, you know. So, but I need people like you to say, hold on, no, don't throw that in the closet. This actually needs to go out on display. And that's why we were such a good partnership, because you brought all the other things that you just said, the sending out of the emails and the lists and Scribe and, you know, all those kinds of things that really, if it wasn't for you, I probably would have lost focus, would have drifted off. You know, a lot of the times I find that we'll do more for others than we'll do for ourselves. You know, and so sometimes it's about putting yourself in a partnership that will call you to do more because you care about that partner, maybe even more than you care about doing it for yourself. And I know I can certainly be that way a lot of times. It's like you said, you know, if I know you're there, I know you're doing that hard work. I know Gina's out there sending out hundreds of emails and stuff. Okay, then I'm gonna, you know, stop doing whatever I'm doing that day and focus and meet you. So part it's accountability as you bring it up.
Yeah, we did not miss one meeting. We've got post meetings. We didn't miss a property challenge. We didn't miss any trainings. We missed nothing. Zero. Zilch. Nada. That's what made it to me a success. Yeah. Can we get better? We can always get better. The next one's going to be better. And the next one after that's going to be better. So that's important. Now I got to rip Bill a little bit, because Bill and I like to go back and forth on something that I like to call goals.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
I didn't tell the wife, but to me, goals are important. Because it's not the goal of writing the book, but it's the person that you've become, the transformation that you've had over the last 6 months to get the goal. The goal is the result. You've learned the system of the process. So am I transforming you? Am I getting you over to the dark side a little bit on goal setting?
A little bit, yeah. For everybody listening, we got to give more color than that, Gino. Gino and I always kind of go back and forth on goal setting. Gino's more of a large goal setter, and I put less value on large goals and a lot more value on short-term immediate goals.
This is a large goal right here. This is a huge goal. It's like once, this is like not quarterly. This is like between a 1 and 3 year goal. So this is, that's poo-poo what you're telling me right there.
And you know how I wrote that book? One sentence at a time. One page at a time.
I'm actually more on Bill's side with this, and I think because we have talked about it.
I'm sorry, I won't interrupt you. You explain your side, then I'll bend back on my side.
Well, yeah, so like I said, everybody listening, Gina's always talking about large goals, and I think large goals are fine. My contingent with large goals is that most people don't actually know how to set them, and then they set incorrect goals, don't know the structure of achieving goals, don't achieve these big goals that they've set, and then really just get upset. And so that's why I kind of say, hey, be careful with goal setting. It's you really need to understand what you're doing with goals, or it's a double-edged sword. You might hurt yourself just as well as you might be successful. So what I always tell people is, hey, don't worry about these 3-year and 5-year, the end of the book and when it's published. Forget all that. Write the next sentence right now. Finish the page right now. What are you doing between today and Friday? Right now. That's it. Stop. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about the book. Don't worry about what I put. Write the next sentence. And so I'm very focused on short-term, weekly and disciplined goals. That my goals tend not to extend past Friday, generally speaking. You know, and so that's why I kind of just make fun of large term goals. There's nothing wrong with them, but you know, 3 years and 5 years and this kind of stuff is pretty much nonsense for a couple of reasons. One, you have no idea where you're going to be in 3 years. Mm-hmm. You do know where you're going to be by the end of the day or tomorrow. So why don't you just focus on that? And by the way, if you show up to work today, tomorrow, and you write the next sentence and you do the things you're supposed to do right now, 3 years takes care of itself. You wake up one day and you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Regardless of whatever you wrote down on that piece of paper about 3 years and 5 years, nonsense. It's a waste of your time and your energy, you know. And I think a lot of times people feel that goal setting accomplishes something, and it most certainly does not. So set goals, that's fine. Just don't spend too much time on it, because now you're wasting time. You could be actually out achieving those goals. I met a guy at one of your events one night at dinner, and a gentleman said, you know, I spend 15 minutes a day, every morning, you know, writing down all my goals every day. I write down my goals. What a waste of time. I said, man, why don't you go find a deal or call them, bro? Do something. We were talking about real estate. So I was like, you know, you're wasting all that time writing down goals. It's like, when do you even have time to achieve them? And how can you have a whole new set of goals every day? I mean, that's absurd. So
that's not really goals. That's top of mind. So to me, the reason why I would do a three-year goal, let's say you're looking out 3 years, you want to reverse engineer that to see today. So if you want to become financially free within 3 years, what's that going to look like? Well, I need to have, say, 100 units. Okay, so reverse engineer that. So on average, you need 30 units a year. So you're reverse engineering. If you got to get 30 units or one deal a year, how many deals are you underwriting? Well, I'm underwriting 80 deals to get that one deal. So if it's going to take you a year to get that one deal and you're underwriting 80 in 50 weeks, you need to be underwriting at least two deals a week to get that 1 year. That's how you're utilizing goals. And then also falling in love with the system or the process to actually hit that goal. Don't focus just on the goal itself, because when you don't hit the goal, we get frustrated. We get pissed off, like Bill said. No, fall in love with what you're doing. We fell in love with this process because we both enjoy real estate. We both love trademarking the three pillars of real estate. And we both love talking about, you know, how this is going to help students. So whether we become best-selling authors or we don't really care. We want to bring the information out there. And then doing that all, hitting the goal is great. Because you know what? Now the goal's over. What's next, Bill? The next one. So that's why goals sometimes are a little bit difficult, because all you're focusing is on the result. Don't focus on the result. Focus on the system or the process that you've done. Because it was a lot of goal setting. It was 6 months worth of planning. Sure. You know, the pre-marketing, the post-marketing, the writing, the pictures, the trademarks of the book. All that stuff goes into it. And you have to plan that. So if that doesn't get planned, it doesn't get done. And I see Bill smiling over there because I know he's agreeing with me, but he can't say.
I'm laughing for two different reasons. Number one, it didn't take you but a few sentences and you took your three-year goal right down to 1 week. Yes. You notice you said that? You brought it right down to 1 week.
But that's what
you're doing. 1 week, we're going to look at 2 weeks.
Yes.
Exactly my point.
But what I'm saying, though, is if you don't know what you want in 3 years or a year from now, you can't take it down, because most people are out in the wind not knowing what they want to do because they can't focus. So goals really should have you focus. Sure. On something greater. That's you know what you want. You know you're looking for real estate deals.
But one thing though, if you have
just one thing,
if you're thinking so far in the future, sometimes you change so much so quickly, especially I do. Anyway.
Well, you need to be fluid.
So you do have to be. Yes. You do have to be open to change. You know, yes, this was my goal, but I'm open to if there's a better path there.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important. Some people don't know that though. So some people get stuck on their goal and they have to go, even if they see, wow, this is a better opportunity, but I decided to stick with my goal and I'm going to keep it. And I think that's where people get confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say, hold your goals gently, you know, and be willing to shift if you realize.
They're going to move. Absolutely. Yeah. They're going to change. Pandemic hit.
Yeah.
We wanted to buy deals. Well, guess what? There's no deals right now. So if I'm like, I got to close 100 units, that may be to my detriment. Well, let's write a book then. I pivot my goals, and being flexible, being fluid is important.
And I was sitting there chuckling as well, because most of the goals for writing the book that you listed out were actually things that you took care of on your side of the partnership. I didn't do much any of those things. You know? These were your thing. I wrote the book and did these other things, but a lot of the stuff that you pointed out back to the partnership were exactly why we were such a good partnership. Because you are goal oriented and you did take care of those business goals and those things, where I was left more to be the artist. And I truly appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, that's important too, to recognize, is that you, Bill, knew who would get that done. Right. And that's important. So if we're trying to succeed in something and we can't do everything, who can help us? Reach out to them and be partners.
Well, multifamily is a team sport also. So, I mean, book writing, creating a business is a team sport. It's not I, it's we, right? That's what it comes down to.
Usually.
What else, baby?
Yes. This is very real estate focused.
I'm struggling with the real estate.
I'm trying, Julia. I'm trying.
he gets so worked up when we talk about
real estate. Well, I talked to Bill. I mean, come on, I gotta talk about real estate with Bill.
It's all good. It's all good.
Bill, what other books have you really enjoyed reading and can apply to partnerships, life, and you know, and business in general?
Different books for different reasons. I constantly read and constantly study. I will fall back to my general classic answer. I'm still a fan of Sun Tzu's The Art of War and The Prince. That's still going to be my two answers for classic study, management, leadership, things of that nature. It'll probably be those two books. Personal motivation. Yep.
What do you like about the Prince? You told me last week, I got it. I'm maybe a third of the way through. What draws you to that management style?
First of all, anybody's listening, we're talking about The Prince by Machiavelli, a tremendously misunderstood writer in history. I think he got a lot of negative connotation just from a few different quotes that are, meme-ish type quotes. But number one, it's a hard read. Let's be clear. It's not an easy read. It's not something you're probably just going to really enjoy. It's not a super, page turner or anything, but a lot of us had to read it in high school. If you did, go back and reread it. If you didn't, it's a good time as an adult to read it. But I like it for management and leadership, really. What the book is about is Niccolo Machiavelli telling one of the Medici princes. He wrote this book for one of the young princes to teach the kid leadership and stewardship over nations and things of that nature. So if we kind of take the book and you swap out things like prince for CEO or, nation for company and things like this, and you kind of read it and change the context and think this is sort of some business CEO talking to you about how to kind of run a company, and you shift that, you'll find the book to be a different writing. But let me also point out is that a lot of things written are in the mind of the reader, in the eye of the beholder. So you'll find what you're looking for. If you believe that Machiavelli, if you go in there looking for violence and tyranny and all this kind of stuff, you'll find it. If you go in there looking for violence in Sun Tzu's The Art of War, you'll find that. But there's so much more to see there than that. So don't go into these works with your traditional point of view about what those books might be. Whatever you think they are, drop that idea and go to them as if you've never read them before, and then read them from the context I'm telling you as business and leadership, and you might find some really inspiring things in there. The Art of War, so I quit my job. One paragraph in there, and I walked away from aviation career because of one paragraph in that book. So you never know what you might find. You never know what might inspire you.
Would you like to share that paragraph?
Not really. No, just kidding. Yeah, you do. Basically, it's in Sun Tzu's Art of War. And so what he's talking about is when you get your troops down to just a few left, you've been beaten up, and most of your forces are destroyed, and you're down to these couple little troops. Basically, what he says is march them as deep into enemy territory as you can and burn every bridge that you cross and tell your soldiers that's the way home. Right? There is no way home. The only way home is through the enemy. And so his point was, hey, when the chips are down, it's actually better to put yourself in complete harm's way, because that's how you'll get your team to really focus. Kind of like Josh was saying, if you create this extraneous pressure, it'll cause you to focus. Well, I don't care about burning bridges and attacking countries and stupid stuff like that, right? So I took that point of view and said, okay, how can I apply that to myself? Well, my aha moment was back when I was working and I had a job. Every time the road would get a little tough, every time I had to study, or every time I get close to a deal or something was a little, I would cross that bridge back into safe territory, which was my job. And so I had to figure out. So that was kind of my aha moment. Reading that, I went, okay, so this is what you've got to do. And I realized I'm a lazy person. I can be quite easily distracted. I'm relatively attention deficit disorder, and I enjoy being all those things. Not really great for working so much, but I like being that way. So how do I make myself work when my natural tendency might be to go chase butterflies or do whatever, right? Well, find some way to put yourself in harm's territory. Find some way to create a situation for yourself. You have no choice. And so what I learned to do was to create situations that were outside of my control that controlled me. I quit the job. So if I quit the job, I just burned a bridge back to safe territory. Now what? Starve or get out there and figure out real estate? So that was kind of one of my big life moments, was from that book right there. Of it's what I now teach in the difference between comfort zone and shock zone. You want to stay outside your comfort zone, but you don't want to go all the way into a shock zone. Shock zone is unattainable, unmaintainable. So it's kind of like an exercise program. That's fine. That'll keep you out of your comfort zone. New Year's resolution to lose all this weight and get out on New Year's and lose. Come on, that's shock zone. You're never going to maintain that. You're going to run to the gym and tear it up and then get all excited and then you're going to fail and then you're not going to go. So that's kind of where we got to figure out what is our comfort zone and what's too far. Too far is unmaintainable. So, you know, find your bridge, burn it, but don't go too far into enemy territory.
But Bill, what made you want to leave your aviation job? Did you hate it that much? I mean,
No, I love flying airplanes. No. It really wasn't as bad as I sounded. I just wasn't doing well sitting still. It wasn't a large enough environment for me. I felt like a goldfish in a small bowl. I mean, I could swim around, just not that much. You know, I had to stay in one place. I had a job. I had to do this. I had to go there, when to do it, told what to do, you know, all this kind of stuff. And that's fine. But it wasn't for me at the time. I'm older now. I could probably handle it a little better, but I was young and squirmy and just didn't feel like sitting still. So it wasn't a hard transition for me to kind of move away from that. Now, you know, hey, caveat for anybody listening, I was 28 years old, no wife, no children, no debt. Let me be clear. I'm not suggesting anybody here go burn a bridge and quit your job just because you heard about it in Sun Tzu or something. That's crazy. Let me be clear. But it was the right move for me at that time.
Love that. Yeah, but sometimes we have to be uncomfortable in order to make a move. Yeah. And it's really good for us. When I see people like that, I'm like, all right, now they have to decide. And it's kind of exciting because it's almost like it's forced. They have to do it. Otherwise, you know, and I think that's sometimes needed. A lot of us are just comfortable all the time.
Yeah. So most people are comfortable enough.
Yes. Comfortable enough. So they won't do anything.
Right. Just comfortable enough. Right.
It holds us back. It holds us back from great.
They're things. Uncomfortable enough to complain.
Yes.
But too comfortable to actually do anything about it.
Exactly.
Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors, and I want to continue that thought process in the next segment.
Hey, Wheelbarrow Profits family. Are you struggling with ways of teaching your kids about money and financial literacy? Gino, I think we have something to help them. Tell them about it.
We've been hard at work creating the Jake and Gino Youth Academy. The Academy takes a deep dive into good money habits, setting up a budget, investing, taxes, the difference between an asset and a liability, and so much more. This is a great opportunity to spend time with your children, to be their role model when it comes to money and investing, and learn how to set them on the right path to financial success.
If you want more information on how you can become the next Youth Academy member, visit www.jakeandgino.com/education to begin your journey to financial freedom.
As we like to say at Jake and Gino, people with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
So I'm going to continue that because I know what Bill is talking about. When I was at the restaurant, I was complaining, but hey, I was doing okay. Then the shock came with the 08 recession. Just like a lot of you out there have the pandemic. And it's like, oh, you know what? No risk. You have a small business. You're making enough money. Oh, crap. There's no one coming out to eat because the economy got slaughtered. And a lot of you are out there right now contemplating that. Now's the time to start reassessing. You're already uncomfortable, right? There may be a little bit of fear, and I know fear stops people from taking action. I just got angry at my situation. I looked around and I said, I'm not that dumb where this person's making that much more money than me. What is that person doing? How can I improve my life a little bit to get better? And that's what you need. That's what Bill's talking about. I'm sure that he just wanted to achieve more also. We all want more achievement. He's sitting around, he's getting bored, there's more to it, and that's what happened to me. So being uncomfortable is one thing, but you got to get really, really uncomfortable to say, I want to change my situation.
Yeah, no, I do love that. And I, you know, for me, life was different. Obviously, I had children. So every time I was comfortable, oh, look, another child. That's my reality. It was a little different than what you guys are talking about.
Slightly.
Right? So that it was like, all right, I got to figure it out. It's a new person. It's just all new. And, you know, like right now I'm in a comfort. I'm very comfortable where
I know. That's why I'm like, can we have another child? Maybe get a little uncomfortable. And you're like, no, I'm like, okay, I want to get a little more.
I think it's more an age thing than a want. Yes. But you know what I mean? And I think that's funny that we have similar situations in life, but they're completely different.
It's the lady who's been financially free since August 30th, 1998. I mean, gotta love that, right,
it's Phil? The question of who was the smarter one. Who was the smarter
That's
one?
Not a question.
Yes, we already know that answer.
We know you, right? Baby. Yes, we know that. So, Bill, what's your next step? What do you want to achieve next? Like, since you have no goals, I know tomorrow's tomorrow.
Yesterday, what day of the week is it?
Well, it depends. I mean, sometimes we have a goal today. We're excited about something, right, Bill? You're excited right now about something, and you want to do it.
Yeah. What is it?
You tell me. I know that there's another book. I can see your mind working. There's more books.
I'm working on a new book. Yeah. I don't know. It's just whatever I'm doing today. It's always a lifestyle for me. It doesn't, yes. I don't know. I don't really notice like, oh, now I'm working on this, for now I'm working on that. It's just like, I don't know. I wake up and I'm,
what are you doing today?
Is the whatever question. Today yes. is. Yeah. At the moment, really trying to find back to real estate, looking for deals, looking for business and developing the education company that I'm working on with Gino. So those are the two main things that I would say I am personally working on. Of that nature. I mean, I have all kind of personal stuff I'm always working on. Business-wise or larger scale, those are it. Yeah.
So Bill, is there anything else we wanted to speak about as far as people wanting to start a book? I mean, we dove into, we use Scribe. They were a huge help. If you can't write it, you can get it ghostwritten. It gets to be, tend to be much more expensive. They can interview you and they can write it themselves. That's expensive. Now, if you have a manuscript, you can hand it over to them. They'll edit it for you. That's a little bit less expensive. I think what I would like to say is, do not underestimate the amount of time it's going to take to market a book, because you want the book, right? And you want to be able to sell the book, not just for the revenue, but just to get it out there. Yeah. So plan that, get a company that will help you if you don't have a big enough platform to do that. That's really important. On our first book, Wheel of Our Profits, we failed from that. And it wasn't a failure. I just didn't have a big enough platform. And we didn't know, even though we did get bestseller status, we didn't have the ability to reach out to friends and family members and the community. So really think about that as you're writing the book, and don't be afraid to ask every single person for a favor, because people will do a lot for you out there. If you don't ask, they're not going to do it. We've asked for help. We've asked for reviews. We've asked to leave something. And my wife is pointing at something in the book right now. She keeps reminding me of the acknowledgments in the book, and I'm never going to play that down. So she's the smarter one, right? As you can see, everybody out there, it takes a lot to get a book marketed and done. And the acknowledgments in the book, when you go on the book, everybody, it's page 3 or the very beginning of the book. She's got a really nice chapter. And then at the bottom, it says, Jake and Gino, thank you for all your support. Couldn't have done it without you.
I just want to tell you that story real quick. Okay. So my husband's like, he was doing all this work for promotion and, you know, all that editing and all that. And he's like, can you just look through the book one time. It was on the computer, and I opened for the first part, and you wrote an absolutely beautiful thing about your wife, which I just loved. And then the next paragraph was something about me. And I was like, I did not expect that at all. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Gino, did you see this? And then I continued to read it. And there's this little something on Jake and Gino. And I just started to giggle because I was looking at him, all the work he put into it and the stress he had. And I'm like, wow, it was great. Me and Bill just had this great conversation. And I was thinking, like, sometimes it just takes that one person to make the biggest impact in someone's life. And it's just one conversation. And I think that's important. Everyone out there listening, is you can change something in somebody if you just speak up a little bit. You know, the old me would have never had said anything to you at all. I would have never questioned what you're thinking, nothing. But there was something in it. I just wanted to reach out. And I think that's important. A good message for people is that you can make a difference in people's lives if you just speak up.
And, you know, and Gino's name's on the front of the book, his name's on the back of the book.
I finally have something.
How much more credibility is the guy?
There's something I have to tell you. Every bet we make, we always make bets for the past 20 years. I probably lose like 95% of them. And so it's always about Gino, Gino's Trattoria, Jake and Gino, Gino's family. It's all Gino. And I'm like, oh my gosh, finally.
Exactly.
Your kids, they look just like your husband. You know what I mean?
She needs a little coaching after this call. You know what I'm saying, Bill? This is going to be a fun one.
So it was the moment was made me giggle so much, and I loved it. So I just want to thank
you. Well, good. I'm glad. Yeah.
What I would say to people about writing a book, I think this is the epitome of being an entrepreneur. You're chasing value here. We're not chasing money. We're chasing value. We're giving value to people. It's seek to serve. And if everyone else wants to be able to get some information on writing a book, or they want to become part of the Bill Ham family, where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah. People, well, first of all, let me say before we move to that, it really wasn't that difficult. Mm-hmm. it wasn't as hard as you might think. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. It really wasn't that much trouble. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you want to write a book and there's something in your mind, just give it a shot. Just get out there and do it. Maybe this is me giving you the permission that Julia gave me, you know, and if I can help anybody, let me know. And I'll certainly give you my contact information, but it really is not as big of a hurdle as you might think. It's not as big of a challenge as you might think. Just get started. It will unfold and all of a sudden you'll be holding your own book one day. So really don't overplay this. Don't overthink it. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. Just take action and get out there and get started. It will take its own course and then you'll actually have something someday. So just do it.
Yeah.
Just take
action. And I wonder how many people out there do have their story sitting on their computer ready, but they don't know what's next.
Tons.
And it's so great nowadays with Amazon. I mean, there's a lot of self-publishing, but there are people out there. Reach out for help. Reach out for people.
There are, you know, so much information on how to do this. And I'll stop and give another resource before we go here. What I did when I first, after you told me to write the book, I thought, how do I do that? So one of the first things that I did was, and I've bought courses, thegreatcourses.com. And this is no way a sales pitch because I don't get anything from those people. But it's a website where you can go and find all kind of courses on anything in the world. And you can get them from 10 bucks to a couple hundred bucks. I started taking writing courses and I just went online and I went to that website and I bought a few writing courses. And I think I spent like 10 bucks a course, you know, and got a handful of courses just on writing. I had no clue how to even start. And that was kind of a good beginning moment for me. So that's another tip. If anybody's kind of got a block or not quite sure what that first step is, there are several courses on thegreatcourses.com. Go there and just type in writing, and they've got stuff on fictional writing and nonfiction and creative nonfiction, on and on and on. So I would just suggest maybe taking a class or two. You'd be surprised what you don't know until you do. But so if anybody wants to reach out to me, it's bill@gobroadwell.com. If you're interested in actually doing real estate, don't tell Julia, you can reach me at BroadwellPropertyGroup.com. We have a spot there. You can get information. If you're looking to invest with me and my partner, Tony, you can just fill out that. And then we have CreativeApartmentDeals.com, which is where our book is and our masterclass. But love to hear from anybody. If anybody needs any help with anything or you just need a kick in the rear, look me up. I might have one for you.
So for all the listeners out there, we have a pretty cool offer for the next few days only. The book is going to be on sale on Amazon at Kindle for 99 cents. If you go online and you purchase the book for 99 cents at Kindle and you leave us a review, take a screen grab of that review, email it to me at gino@jakeandgino.com, and I will give you a PDF copy of Wheel of Our Profits and a PDF copy of The Honeybee. This is going to get you into real estate. This is for more high-level people who are trying to create complementary streams of revenue. And this one, there's no more excuse to say you don't have the money to get in real estate. This is going to get you into the game as well. So email me gino@jakeandgino.com. Go on Creative Cash on Amazon. You can buy it for 99 cents for the next few days. Let me know. Let's go out there. Let's make it happen. I want to thank Bill for a really cool journey. I mean, this has been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of learning. And I'll just end it with this. Bill shared a meme with me the other day, and I think it's pretty cool, but I think he's right. You know, your attitude determines your altitude, but you need the skills also. We need behaviors and belief driven. If you think you can do it, you can do it. You need the skills in this book to get into real estate. You need the skills in this book to get into real estate as well. So you do need a great attitude, but you need the skills and the experience and the knowledge as well. And this book will give it to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I said altitude is attitude until you run out of fuel. That's the part I added to that. I saw that on somebody's walls. And attitude is altitude. Mm-hmm. Until you run out of fuel, then your attitude ain't worth a fig, is it? You better have
skills. That's right. Yeah,
attitude is great until things go wrong, and then it's skills that bring you home.
Yes. Thanks, Bill.
Absolutely. See you next time.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.